response to that was as follows. The department supports this view. A memorandum of agreement between the Ministers of Small Business Development and Economic Development empowers the Minister of Small Business Development to be the executive authority of CIFA. However, this instrument is not adequate to enable CIFA's parliamentary grant to be included in Budget 33 on Small Business Development. It goes on to talk about some of the technical challenges faced with merging these two departments. Now, as I've said, having read this report this morning in its entirety, there's nothing in here which fundamentally I would wish to change, but I think it would be important for the committee at some point during the final term this year to review each of the responses of the department to the recommendations, and maybe we should use the tracking tool to do that. Because, you know, whilst most of the recommendations in the current report are still valid, I think that we need to be paying attention to whether the committee is responding to the responses of the department, whether we are able to devote some time to that. Chair, I would like to suggest that. Just so far as section on section 8 on recommendations. I would like to add a paragraph that the investigation that the committee is going to be implementing through the Office of the Auditor General supplants or takes the place of that of the department's own investigation, because it seems that there's going to be possible duplication, and I think that the committee should, in its oversight role, be the body that initiates and conducts through its agencies the Auditor General such an investigation. Something that we can discuss. Then something that which I probably should have brought up in the earlier discussion around the fourth quarter program is the point that the committee agreed upon some weeks ago, that the leader of government business should appear before the committee with the minister to account for the performance challenges that the department has had. And I would suggest that somehow be put into the committee's recommendations, and that a space should be found in the program for that appearance. And I suggest the date for that could be the 22nd of November, when the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation is due to come before the committee.
Before I take the following members, I would like to respond to the second part of Honourable Chancellor's recommendation in relation to the leader of government business and the minister appearing in front of the Public Committee. I'm not sure whether Honourable Chancellor will remember that I reported back on that. That I was advised that in terms of the separation of powers, we report to the Speaker. We are part of Parliament, report to the Speaker. And anything that would then have not been reported by us to the Speaker, and then nothing happens after we have reported that, they would then institute another action which will be determined at that time. But at the moment, we are a committee of parliament. We have not reported any problem in the office of the speaker in relation. So I thought that that was our understanding, that we appreciate that there is a separation of powers, and then we do not go to the executive, because the leader of government business is part of the executive, and Tina, we account, we are representing parliament. Anything that requires further attention requires us to go to the speaker. So based on that, I would think that we can't take the second proposal of Honorable Chair.
So then, Chair, are you saying that the investigation that we called upon will take place once the MTSF has been approved and funds have been provided for that investigation?
Are you referring to the forensic investigation? I also have reported on that matter, and I also have had one-on-one discussions with Honorable Charles on to further explain this matter.
I accept that. I'm just saying that it should be as a recommendation.
No, I did not say that. I said the second part of what you were saying.
No, I understand. I'm just saying that I'm requesting that the recommendation be included in this report, that our investigation as a committee supersedes the investigation of the department into itself.
I did not speak to the first part of your recommendation, which is the recommendation that you are referring to is already a recommendation of the portfolio committee and a decision of the portfolio committee, which has already been processed, because after that meeting of the portfolio committee where a decision was taken that the portfolio committee would want to institute a forensic investigation, and then two operational objectives happened to take that process forward. The first one was the consultation with the Office of the Auditor General, which appeared in the portfolio committee, and there were discussions and agreements on how that could be done. Based on that, I then wrote a letter to the House Chairperson so that we could then be given permission. And I then submitted the report, which was the basis for the decision, and also the report on the interaction between the Portfolio Committee of Small Business Development and the Office of the Auditor General, as to, yes, they can assist us with the investigation. They don't have a budget for that. And the portfolio committee also doesn't have a budget. Therefore, a budget needs to be found. I was then called by the House Chairperson, who then gave me a report that in principle, they agree with that as the presiding officer. We will have to wait until the budget adjustment for them to find the budget that can be allocated, which then means that the third step is to figure out the terms of reference, which will indicate to the Office of the Auditor General the financial implications of the outcome that the portfolio committee would want to see, which can then be presented again together with the application now, when we have been told that the parliament has found money, which will then indicate to Parliament ukuthi how much exactly. So I am not disputing that I did not speak on the first part of your suggestion, amendment, that we should add that in this report. I only spoke on the second part of your suggestion, because those were two different processes, and I actioned both of them and reported back to the portfolio committee as to where the process was. So I still maintain that let us separate those two, and then if the committee agrees that let us include the amendment, which was your first proposal, which relates to the forensic investigation, the committee has to talk on that. All I was doing was that let us not even start to discuss it. I was assisting the processes. Let us not discuss the second part, because we already have information on a guidance on how to deal with that man. So can we have Honourable Nqaba?
Thank you, Chair. Also, I would appreciate what the content advisor has done in capturing very well our observations and recommendations. I think it's a very good document, but I've got just few things to say. One, it regards to CIFA. He has captured very well the issue of the interest and percentages. But I would remember, Chair, when we were in Free State, the issue of legal actions that CIFA takes against the small businesses who are struggling to repay their loans on various reasons. You'll remember at one of the projects, we met someone was waiting for the provincial department to pay her on construction, but there was already legal actions against her. I do not know how can we feature that those kind of actions be thoroughly investigated before implemented, because they really cripple the small businesses. I remember in the last visit, there was an old man whose offices or building were being attached. It's one of the serious issues that maybe we should find a way to put in the document. And I do not know, Chair, whether I'll be out of order if I say also on the observation or recommendations, it would be important to put our concerns regarding the structure itself of the department. For instance, we have the acting positions. They have introduced themselves, Yabo, Putundu, and others, which to me says, on those instances, no one can really take responsibilities of what is happening, that particular portfolio. Maybe we must have a way to put that expressly, that to have a department important like this one, then we have all these acting positions forever. It doesn't assist us. And also with the head of the department itself, I do not know how can we express it, because personally, I mean, I'm not happy about the way she's leading the department. But we must have a way as to how can we, in our observations, put it. But quite frankly, the DG of the department is not helping us to achieve our goals. We have different visions. She has her own visions, and we have our own vision. Well, I do not know, the colleagues will speak on that. But also, what is disappointing, Chair, is that now we are still talking about transversal agreements. It's not really clear as to what are those departments that we have signed transversal agreements with. For instance, yesterday I was with the Committee of Agriculture. When they were reporting, they said they are assisting cooperatives, agricultural cooperatives. And I asked the minister, because he was there, you assist those people to what extent? Do you take them up to the market level? Because we have 88% failure rate of the cooperatives. He said, yes, we have signed agreement with Tiger Brand that our cooperatives will supply shops or products under Tiger Brand, something like that. And I was shocked because I said to myself, but this is a department that is tasked with that kind of a job, to make sure that they train, they capacitate our people up to the market level so that they see their lives changing. Now we've got a department that only trains them on planting millets, planting potatoes, but what about financial management to sustain what you are doing, to sustain this co-op? Well, that one, even branding, how do we make sure that you are well marketed? Well advertised. Those are the things that I think, as we are speaking about transversal agreement, the department must really take into consideration, because these other departments do not have this core mandate to develop these people. It's only this department. Even if they do it, but they won't do it to the level that we envisage as this committee. Yeah, I will stop there, but I think other things are well covered by the candidate advisor. But lastly, one must express is also disappointment that the program two of the department, I mean, we always see this reduction in the budget, but we are of the opinion that it's a core mandate that should be prioritized. I think somehow the department does not get their priorities. Okay. So those are the things that one can add for now. Thanks.
Honorable Laud.
Thanks, Tabitha, and let me also congratulate the contact advisor for what he did. That is the first draft and the BRRR, which the contact advisor is specific and clear. So, but although there are so many things he said, we observed as a committee and some recommendation we made. I don't know whether right time with the department must also assist us, because the other more thing we observe, and which I'm observing even now, which I thought it should have been included to assist us, is only on page 10 about the SONA State of Nation Address 2017, where the President was addressing the nation, in particular about the small business and cooperatives. There are four critical issues which was mentioned for the department to get it on its feet. But I want it also to on the recommendations, or maybe on the observation. It's on page 10, it's about the commitment, the government commitment. When the president said the government commitment to support black smallholder farmers, about 450, as he said. So immediately when the president said so on the SONA, we expect the relevant department, like this department, Small Business and Development, to take charge. It is this department, in actual fact, we can also blame the Treasury to add more money whether the department they have a yardstick to check how many small black farm holders have been assisted since the state of national address. And again, the president said the government will be able to use the state buying power to empower small business enterprises, normally in more especially in rural and township. So after the president said so, I wanted to know the department. What did the department do? So that it must be a part of our observation that the department, whether it's doing, as said by the president. Again, the president said there must be a state expenditure of 5 billion per year buying goods and services in order to achieve economic transformation. The president is talking about inclusive the private sector, inclusive the own department. Look, my colleague here, he said the agriculture, they're signing the transversal or bilateral agreement with the Tiger brand. Is it the department aware? Because that is the role of the department to do so. So now the department is like now just neutral. Even the president has said so. And lastly, it's about the regulation, which the president said that there must be a regulation which make it compulsory for big contractors to subject 30% of businesses to the black-owned enterprise by 1st of April 2017. So we want the department, is it doing so? Or contractors, are they doing so? Is there any regulation to force these big companies to do as such? So is some of the observation we observed in the committee, and they would like also to be included as a recommendation. If the department is not doing that, we must know the explanation. If the department is doing so, we must be updated to the parliament. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and also appreciation to the content advisor for this report. Madam Chair, only three things from my side. It was mentioned, red tape was mentioned again in the report, and I want us to recommend in our report that the department comes up with a strategy how to reduce red tape for small businesses and cooperatives before the end of the fourth quarter, because there was a strategy in place from the opposition, but of course this committee thought it was not desirable. So we need definitely a strategy from the department to reduce red tape. The municipal guidelines is not working, because nobody is working on them, municipalities is not working on them, and it's not a strategy. We must come up with a new invention or a new strategy how to reduce red tape. The second point, Madam Chair, is rural development. And some of my colleagues already touched, but I think, you know, rural development, it's with the land reform and the rural development department. Land reform is a very important issue in South Africa at the moment. So I think that that department is not giving enough, attention to rural development. So we need to sort of discuss that rural development migrates to this department, because this department is supposed to be the experts on cooperative development and small business development, especially in cooperative development, and there's a huge need to develop small businesses and cooperatives in rural areas. So if my colleagues are agreeing with me, I think we need the department to start investigate the migration of rural development into this department. And then the last point, Madam Chair, is a cooperative act. I also think that although it was amended in 2013, if I'm right, 2013, but I don't think it's 100% applicable with our situation in South Africa at the moment. So we also need to recommend to the department to revisiting the cooperative acts so that we can get it in line with the NDP and with capacitate our people in South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will also follow my honourable colleagues in commending or appreciating the content advisor with this standing in terms of having complied to this report. Chair, is the issue of maybe the department to assist us in terms of the advice that was given to them by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation in the Treasury in terms of relooking the APP as it appeared on observation in Section 7 that they did not submit or present us as the committee with the APP if they can present it to us so that we may know it. But I think my colleagues have covered me in most of the areas, but is it to just emphasize this point by Honorable Chan, the tracking tool for our recommendations, that if we can have this tracking mechanism for us to at least be knowing where are we and what is it that we have achieved on time. Thank you. Transverse agreement, particularly on how to utilize on the departments that are buying services, because there is a lot of money in that area in terms of supporting small business. If we are buying services for 500 billion, what transverse agreements are there that the departments have signed that facilitate the development of small business, utilizing the fact that governments can buy services from those small enterprises and cooperatives.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me also congratulate and thank the Monitor Spicer for the good work done. But I only add a few very, very small things. One is that maybe we should have as a recommendation, if it is possible, which can be very, it's a broad and vague recommendation, that the department should address all the outstanding recommendations, the previous recommendations where they have not responded or positively succeeded. So they should give an update of addressing all the previous recommendations that have not been attended. That's one. And then the other one, maybe also this one is too vague for me. I mean, from me in this case. The one of the lending policies. I don't know where this one I don't know how morally that can be taken from us, but maybe we need a clarity that we can stand for that. We can justify that for the reasons of ABCD, we can justify that China, Singamborega, and they are servants with Mulu. Singamborega, Umtoyaborega, Aban Bagi, Chiman, that's what is interesting. That's another one. And then,
given opportunity for members to, if they have any concern in terms of what is proposed by another member, and there are those that are saying, no, we shouldn't add that one, or we should elaborate on this one to make it more clearer. Honorable Chairman.
Yes, I'd just like to pick up on Honourable Carver's point about lenders lending to lenders. You know, technically, this is what we refer to as, what is referred to as wholesale finance. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a principle. And I think SIPA has made it clear that it doesn't have the footprint to get down to the grassroots where much of the lending is necessary. The key to me is not the lending, risk appetite of those lenders and where the profits are residing, are coming. Now, one of the problems with microfinance and the huge indebtedness that's led to in poor communities is that the people that make the money are not the borrowers who are borrowing to make money on their businesses, are lenders. And this is what some financiers call reverse remittances. In other words, the money is being sucked out of the communities in which it's meant to assist because of the high interest rates that they charge and the high failure rates. The reason they charge the high interest rates is to cover their losses. So, you know, if I'm lending to company A at 4.5% a month, I'm doing so because company B is not going to pay me back, and I have to cover my losses by lending high. So gets back to the discussion we had last week with SIPA on its lending practices. And I think that what we need to do as a committee is recommend not that the department or SIPA stops lending to lenders, but that it undertakes a detailed report or survey of its wholesale financing business, reports back to the committee on where the profits are being retained in that
problem. And he describes the problem as it's government money is given to SEPA, and SEPA gives it to intermediaries. And then there is high rate of impairment. He then says, in his view, that retards progress. And in our report, we are also highlighting the issue of the high interest rates that Honorable Chuck was looking to. But I also want to remind members that we had in this room, this committee room, a workshop with the government DFI. And when we were discussing that report, which where we had gone in, SMMEs and cooperatives who had complained in terms of access to finance and high rate of lack of access to finance, and also the process and the high rates. And then in that workshop, we had invited the president of the Mondragon Cooperative. And in our previous meetings, we have also talked about the Grameen bank model. And what we were looking at is that we see access to finance as a problem. Let us find a solution. That is what I'm hearing Honorable Tapa and Honorable Chan saying. And then there is a concrete proposal there that is coming from Honorable Chan, which says, let us recommend that the department look at the funding, the lending and policies. But also, we remember that when we were planning to go to Kenya and the Mondragon, we had tied that to ensure that by the time we get into the BRRR, we also have seen how small businesses and cooperatives are supported by these countries, because in Africa, Kenya is doing well. And then in our last meeting of the portfolio committee, Honorable Chan also recommended that we look at the Malaysian model. I take all this as work in progress, which seeks to find a solution to the problem that we have identified, which is lack of access to finance or inadequate financial support to SMMEs and cooperatives. I would therefore suggest that rather than putting it as a question mark, as something that is bad and no one is doing anything about it, let us put it in a form of saying this has been identified, it is acknowledged, and this is the work that is being done by the portfolio committee, and this is the work that is being done by the department. And then at a particular stage, we bring those processes together to find a better solution. So I don't see it needing to be put as a failure of the department, taking into consideration that the lending sphere, the lending environment was not a new creation by the Department of Small Business. The Department of Small Business finds itself in that space. It absorbs the things that were already there. And it way of transforming those to make them relevant to the target market of the Department of Small Businesses. Honorable Professor.
Please excuse my ignorance, Chair. I think these interest rates, there's no one who can thrive, start a business and thrive on these interest rates. I mean, we saw the taxis, they were blocking the highway because their interest rate was around 27%. I think these interest rates, instead of helping our people, they are pushing them to be worse off than when they started. Because now they are going to be owing and what they had before will be taken. So I just think it's also a recipe for the department to fail. Because if CIFA allowed these interest rates from their intermediaries, the small businesses and cooperatives will fail. And then we say the department is failing. So I think we need to put it a bit stronger that really these interest rates are not, even if we were saying there's nothing wrong with that, which we can look at it, but there's everything wrong with these interest rates. I mean, who will make a profit that allows them to pay 40 to 110% interest rate? It's not possible. So I think we should not allow CIFA to continue. They must at least contain, they must have agreement with their intermediaries about the level of interest rates. Because this is government money that's supposed to help the poor. Now, it would be really unacceptable that this government money that these intermediaries are getting, they then bankrupt our people instead of assisting them. So I think this needs to be really, it can continue. At least these interest rates of this magnitude, nobody is going to succeed if they are charged 40 to 110%. It's not possible.
I think that in dealing with this situation, I agree with the inputs that are being made. It's not the first time that the portfolio committee is raising that. And the response from CIFA will always be interest associated with the risk. But then we will also talk about the mitigation, which was raised by Honorable Mark, that CIFA, knowing very well that our interest rates are high and all those things, but then CIFA would still also, instead of having a business rescue strategy for small businesses, CIFA would just focus on lending and then collection. And forget that CIFA has got a sister agency that is CIDA that is supposed to provide those people with skills. The department doesn't have a business rescue strategy. So the problem is not only the interest rate, it's the whole lending environment that needs to be reviewed. And also the interest rates. We have abantu abahlakaniphile nabafundile banamaqhinga. The interest rates are actually informed by the intermediaries themselves.
in view of the negative impact of that, as part of a corrective measure, we would also look at reviewing. Department must also investigate the process of reviewing the intermediary act, because it provides, it gives intermediaries the latitude to charge this kind of interest. So if it was passed by Parliament, Parliament has to do something about it. It could even be a committee's proposed bid if the department is moving on a snail's pace. Honourable Charles, do you want to say something? Are you speaking on this?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I think, you know, Chair, a lot of the fault for this can be placed within the target setting of CIFA, because it's chasing approvals and disbursement targets rather than performance on the loans. So that means that it's lending to people that it shouldn't be lending to, just to hit a disbursement target. I think there's, we should look at putting in a recommendation to CIFA that it changes its target setting completely and takes out disbursement and approvals targets completely and measures itself on performance of its loan book purely. Because it's absolutely counterproductive to be loaning to businesses and saying we're doing so great because we're lending to all these businesses, if those businesses go bankrupt and it doesn't get its debt repaid. Then I think if you change the incentives and the target setting, it would have a major effect on the way in which CIFA manages its business and the way in which small businesses out there actually are able to benefit from loans that are going to be repaid, which is in the interest of everybody, the taxpayer, CIFA, and the business itself.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to come to this one now. I'm covered in this one. There are two. One is that maybe we also can also be assisted in recovering that lost information, because several times when we had meetings, very hot ones, almost confrontational, the DG would say they have a problem of capacity. And my question was always be, who actually does not have capacity in the department? Which is a silly question also. But to me, it would be useful if maybe there is a way of addressing this part of capacity. Maybe the department will recommend that the departments must be able to say to us, this is how they are addressing what they have always alleged as a problem of capacity. In this case, I think it's human capacity in the department. So that we can get that part clear, because I think it's linked to what Honorable Norris was saying. Now, the other one is also that one which we always recommended very strongly, that the department must take the center stage in this each area of cooperatives and small business, because they are everywhere in every department. But it seems maybe the department has not yet grasped that this is their terrain, that this is their terrain that they operate. Anybody who talks about small business and cooperative would have to interact and take into consideration the existence of the department. Thank you.
Thanks. I was just wanting some clarification from Honourable Chan. When you say CIFA may be lending to people, they shouldn't be lending. You see,
problem is that in this, in our financial system, we don't have the institutions that are able to make the assessment as to whether grant, loan, or equity finance is the most appropriate form of finance in a particular instance. So we have a situation where CIFA is principally a loan funding organization. When it assesses businesses need finance, it doesn't ask the question, should they be given a grant or should they be invested in? It just says, how can we lend them money? So we've found instances, for example, where CIFA has made loans to businesses which shouldn't have been loan money, they should have been granted money through grants that are available through other departments. Because it has a tunnel vision around its mandate. Its mandate is to loan money to small businesses. So what I'm suggesting, honourable member, is that this committee should ask itself what the department should be doing to have a more holistic view on finance for small businesses, including all those three sources of finance. And resulting from that, I think that we would have a more we would have a system which would be more attuned to small businesses that aren't able to access funding from any sources because they haven't got the assets. Historically, they've been deprived of assets. So they've got no collateral. They can't put money into the business because they haven't got those assets. They don't have the collateral to get the loans. And so we've got to find a way of helping them finance their businesses through these means. Part of the problem that we've encountered in our oversight is that many of these businesses don't know about financial management. And in instances where loans have been granted and are now stressed, it's because they don't know how to manage the loan. So that means that finance must come with the sort of support that is necessary to increase the likelihood that they understand how to manage that money. So it just comes down to the point that I made just now. I think that the department needs to have a more holistic view on funding, and that institutions need to be set up which give them the capacity to grant, loan, or invest, or feed applying businesses through to different institutions that have that mandate, loaning, granting, or
I thank you. Yes, I understand what you're saying, and I think that's not in dispute that those three types of giving money, granting, loaning, and everything. I don't think there's a dispute. Secondly, I don't think what you are discussing here is because people are not able, they don't have. We know they don't have collaterals, and that's probably why they haven't gone to the banks to require that you have all those things. But they are not failing. I wouldn't say all of them would be failing because they don't know how to manage their finances. Even if you know how to manage your finances, if you have to pay 110% profit, how are you going to do it? Doesn't it? I think that's a very unfortunate thing if we are saying that these people, their businesses are failing because they don't know how to manage their finances. It's not, even if you know how to manage your finance, if you are expected to pay back at 40% to 110%, you would still fail. So, yes, I completely agree with you that there are those who need grants, and fine, that's a different debate, and it would be good to give grants to some. But the debate we are having here is about these interest rates. And we must train our people, that's why they have to sign all these transversal agreements, because some of them would precisely to help those who cannot get, who don't have collaterals to go to the bank and so on. We know they are high risk because they don't have collaterals. But why then, why do we then think that their businesses would be so good that they can pay an interest of 110? It's a contradiction. So I think we must deal with this issue. The other issues are fine, we agree with you, but we must deal with this issue because we've forever been bankrupting people. And also, CIFA's loan, yes, I agree that if you lend, you must expect money to be paid. But you mustn't expect it to be paid at this level. And you mustn't expect, even the intermediaries, they mustn't expect that they can switch business, even in the big business, even in the normal business, which business gives you 110% interest. So I think we must address this in terms of what, I mean, I'm ignorant in this, on this law that gave the intermediary the deals, but I wouldn't maybe gave them the way to design, but I don't think anyone had a view that anyone can decide 110% for a small startup business. It just doesn't make sense. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that's why I said earlier in response to Honorable Carver's point that it's not so much about lending to lenders, it's about the interest rates that we charge. So I think there's every justification for investigation into the reason the interest rates are being charged, the consequences of those high interest rates being charged. Absolutely. I mean, yet again, it's an example of why big businesses are thriving in this country and small businesses are not. Because big businesses and big, you know, businesses that have been established are able to borrow at much more preferential rates than small businesses. Small businesses are being penalized. We must find ways of overcoming that, and the interest rate that's being charged is a huge problem.
I think that the points that have been advanced by Honorable Dlamini Zuma are very, very important together with Honorable Chan. I'm glad that Honorable Chan is also in agreement with those points. I just want to broaden this discussion a little bit. The problems of the country, poverty and unemployment. Then small business is identified as an answer to the issue of unemployment. Out of 11 million new jobs expected by 2030, 90% of those are expected from small business, which means small business has a very important role in reducing poverty and unemployment. And if you don't look at how government is currently intervening on poverty, and look at the services, the free services that are provided by government, which would have been paid for by the consumers if there was no high rate of unemployment in South Africa. Look at the amount of money that government is spending in looking after poor people who are affected by poverty, who are also not employed, and then put this department at the center of that. All hopes and expectations are that if we reduce unemployment and develop our sector, SNL isn't competitive, we will then reduce poverty. And this thing is spelled out in the medium-term expenditure framework statement of 2014. The economy of South Africa is not growing enough to reduce poverty. That is what the medium-term expenditure statement says. Then the Minister of Finance says, the answer to that is to shift government expenditure from consumption to production. Meaning that you have a welfare state for the poor looked after by government and a developmental state for the rich. But if you don't understand social development, you would not understand that by having a few people that you can tell, you will not be able to look after those who are not employed. It therefore requires CIFA and the department to not prioritize profit. CIFA saying our shareholders need repayment, but look at what is the problem that we are trying to address by making people who are unemployed access funding that will enable them to start their own businesses. And by doing that, they will then exit the social grant register and the handout, which is a free house, a free basic water, free exemption from rent. The starting point should be, there are three problems that are identified in the crisis. It is poverty, it is unemployment, it is inequality. And how do you see that there is that? You see government building houses for the people, you see government giving food parcels, you see government transporting children to school, you see government feeding children in school, you see government providing child support grants. Under normal circumstances, if there wasn't poverty, was that going to be the responsibility of government? The answer is no. It was not going to be the responsibility of government to actually feed my child. So the best developmental intervention is to capacitate the Department of Small Business and its agencies and give that department enough resources and power to reduce the number of people who are sitting on the welfare side who are looked after by government. So your welfare intervention should be structured in such a way that it is a short-term intervention so that we enable the parents to look after themselves, make people to be self-sufficient and self-reliant and not depend on government to build houses for them, to buy school uniforms for their children, to pay for child support. Last year's report on child support grant, 50 billion. That is March last year. Now, if we look at that, is that a sustainable way of dealing with the inequalities that exist? Inequality means there are rich people and there are poor people. So the instruments that you then put should not be informed by capacity to pay and revenue, which also gives a problem in terms of the technology that is used in the documents of the department. Entrepreneur, which gives an impression that we are only looking for people that are already involved in some business. We are not looking at people who are not employed, who have desires to get self-employed, and then package products and interventions that would enable those people to rely on handouts, coming back, we have been hammering it here. Grameen Bank was designed in Bangladesh by Professor Mohammed Yusuf to give loans to women who were selling on the streets. Take this, go and buy a bag of oranges, sell, bring back in the afternoon. And in that system, the borrower became the owner of the Grameen Bank. Now, we shouldn't pretend as if we don't know what is happening in our community. There are stock firms in our community. There is money in our community, but for whatever reason, FIFA chooses to have give money to the intermediaries instead of developing and working with the stock firm, because they save their own money. We have the cooperative bank development act and the cooperative bank development agency that is not looking at what exists in communities. If you don't know the communities and how they are structured, you will not be able to provide the kind of services that speak to the traditions and cultures of those communities. There's no person who doesn't pay with the fare. Not a single person who defaults with the fare. Because it is structured and based on principles of cooperatives. But instead of doing that, we think about our intermediaries and we even there are trials in 2005 of developing a cooperative bank. They are cut at their own. We are born. Now, let us agree that. Also, what disturbed me is that when we raise the issue of litigation, which Mugabe is raising, in response, as I told her, even from the minister, was that is. FIFA has got an obligation to collect. And till now, we were not saying FIFA doesn't have an obligation to collect. All that we were saying was, there is a problem here, let us put a moratorium and then discuss these issues because we see a problem. We are not saying FIFA doesn't have an obligation to collect. But we are saying, the intention of government to establish FIFA was not to have, make FIFA even a good balance board. It was to develop those things. And if FIFA is unable to do that, then FIFA is not adhering to its mandate. But also, I want to talk about the types of loans. Are we agreeing that we will meet again to adopt next week again?
No.
Okay, can do it. In terms of loans, in developing countries, yes, there is equity because you are inviting people to come and invest in order to access funding. You also have loans. But loans are divided into two categories. For development types of loans, it's called soft loans. It also has a holiday period to enable the small business to take off the ground. In some countries, it will be 2 years holiday period. And it's still a soft loan, 3%. But on top of 3%, there's a two-year holiday period. It can be 110 interest rate. Also, in addition to that, there will be a guarantee by the department to say, if FIFA has provided loan, and FIFA, let's say FIFA was not using government money, but FIFA was using investors' money, and FIFA was the fund manager, for people who would prefer to use that money for to invest their money for development instead of keeping the money at the bank. If then there is a problem in repayment and the fund manager has to account to the people that have invested in the fund, then the department would have a guarantee that should Mr. Toby Charles failed to pay because of 1, 2, 3, 4 reasons, then the department guarantees that it will pay. The department hasn't spent the money, but it has committed it that in case. That then forces the department also to provide the capacity building instruments that will prevent the department from always paying and rescuing. Because the department would know that we are at risk if we don't build the capacity to get markets for them, make them a trade and do all the things that will make them become successful. We are also at a risk of losing the guarantee that we have said we are guaranteeing. So those instruments are not here when we talk about small business here in South Africa. So the issue that we are making is that it's a problem, a huge problem, the lending policies and how we are structured, and therefore we need to review. One, this department must do investigation, MRDFI, and how to restructure that, and also to look at the lending policies in line with the target group that the DFI needs to develop. And let us be clear that the e-community is not happy with the kind of interest rates that are being charged to small businesses. But then I wanted to raise something here. On page 57, under 8.10, in all the times that we mentioned 88%, and when we talk about the development of a master plan, there is no specific reference to what it is that we are saying should be done to reduce the, to reverse the 88%. Are we looking at making new cooperatives sustainable and forget about those that have already died? And the cooperatives are not people that you bury when they are dead, so you can't do anything about them. Cooperatives are there. They are registered, they have dreams of becoming a financially sustainable. So the point that I'm making is that we always make a reference to 88% failure rate as a story. We don't talk to the 88% failure rate as a need for the department to reverse. Go back to those cooperatives that have done. Rather than thinking only of funding those that are new, because that is what is happening. The CIS is looking for new applicants. It's not going back to those which are in the ICU. And Minagawe Galane stated, when you are in the ICU, the nurse stands next to you 24 hours. because we are full of water. When I was operated, I had a bad operation for 3 days I was in the ICU. Each time I opened my eyes, there was a nurse next to me. In practice, Ngala, one small business development, Ute, Bafile, 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 Wabane, Botshwanda, Lucas Park. So my proposal then is that in the development of a master plan, we should also include a strategy for rescuing failed cooperatives. And also, when we look also at the services that are provided by each department, they focus on only on starting up the cooperative, not it going there, to a level where they are able to develop and facilitate the development of community-owned enterprises, including community banks and community skills centers. But I also wanted to I think we are very hard to the officials. These that are here. I always think about this when I reflect on our meetings and ask myself, Uche, how would I have reacted if I was only able to drive a car and I have code 8 driver's license. And then I am without any preparation, without any capacity building program, without me being taken to learn how to drive code 14 truck, I am then just given the keys to say, drive this code 14 truck. And I think that we need to confront, we need to address ourselves to the correct target. These officials did not put themselves here. No. They didn't. There are two people who are supposed to put in place all that is needed to build the capacity in the department, including the skills and the understanding of the officials that are seated here. And those people are not here with us today. It's the DG as the accounting officer and the minister as the political employee. So for me, this committee needs to appreciate that in fortunately in my training of community development, part of that also includes change management. Because when you develop a community, you take people from a particular stage and you take them through to a different stage and different conditions. And then you need to look at how they will react. And in one of budget debates here, I said, let us appreciate the fact that this was a program under DTI, it's now a department. And then personnel that operated in a program were then transferred to come and establish a department. You are taking a person who has a smuggler driving. A truck that requires code 14. What then happens in a change management situation is that A, you should always be aware that A, these are people, it's not objects. They have feelings, they get frustrated, they have the capacity of thinking based on their training background and the environment you put them in. Some will go back to where they come from because they find it difficult to adapt. Some will see it because they want a job but resist change. And others will adapt. And as head of the department, you need to find strategies to deal with those. Even those who have left and chose to go back, follow them back to find out what made them to go back. And those who are resisting change, sit down with them and find out and then develop ways of enabling them to cope and change to new ways of doing things. And then don't only work with those that have adapted and make them your closest loved one, but use them to facilitate the paradigm shift in terms of the mindset. Those who are remaining here, but they are resisting change. It may happen that they are resisting change because no one is explaining to them nicely what is it that is expected of them to do. And if we don't apply those things, the change management strategy, which are going to assist the department in building the capacity and have a common way of seeing things. So in my view, I'm going back to Honorable Tao. If the head is the one who is resisting and doesn't see what is it that the department needs to do, how are those who are below head will see? So the issue that I'm making here is that do we share a common understanding and perspective with the DG of the department? And this portfolio committee has in the past indicated that we don't think that we share a common understanding, and we ask the minister to come and for the committee to talk to her. She came with the DG, and the minister then committed that she was going to address those issues to facilitate the situation where there is convergence of mind between the portfolio committee and the DG, so that the DG can have a better understanding and provide leadership in the department. So the recommendation then that relates to that is that let us recommend in this report that we had engaged the minister and the minister had committed to correct that. We would then want the minister to come and report back to the portfolio committee before even the development of the new strategic plan and the APP of 2018-2019, because that's where we will see that it's changed that has taken place. That's my only proposal. I don't know how other members feel about that.
About the strategy of the corporate that's in ICU, I think, and I agree 100% with you, but when we add it to our recommendations, we must just state that the department must come with a strategy before the end of the financial year, just put a time frame there, because it's very serious. Actually, if I have my way, I will say it before the end of December.
Honorable Lau, I would want, before we close on this matter, Honorable Thapa to comment on this because I'm building on his point. Honorable Lau.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I totally agree with you. That is what happened. The minister assured us that she will sit down. Well, that you will end up asking the leader of government, Ms. Lo, to come and assist us. The way to move the DG in order for this department to work. Otherwise, this department is as good as it has been collapsed. Because the ideas are there, everything is there, but the machinery is not working. So we have a problem. It's a crisis. We don't want this proud of our time to finish. And when they ask you, what were you doing for the whole 5 years? We don't want our history to judge us here. We want to put it in record that the DDG with his entourage, they are not helping us at all. We are sitting here, we're talking nothing. Simple thing to communicate with the sister of the department. It's a big mountain to this department leadership. Simple thing to have contact with the municipalities. Structures are there. To go to have a particular section in the department which deal with the IDPs or with the LEDs of all municipalities. And every day the chairperson is preaching this message. But when the department leaves that door, everything is under the bridge. It's the only one person in the department. I think it's who can understand this. It's unfortunately it's with us in parliament. Who must be deployed to the department then and try to teach them. You must be the DG. Yes.
Sometimes does identify what we can identify in the departments of the department. But if we all agree and understand that the issue of the capacity should be addressed, and specifically by the leaders of the department and make the committee have a common understanding with the department, to me that will take us somewhere.
The last recommendation that was made is that as a department, both as the minister and the DJ should be mindful of important milestones of Parliament. A DG or a minister that doesn't participate in a meeting where the strike plan of a department is being presented to the bring the question of where the priorities are. And there is no one who is in the government department who would not know when the State of the Nation address happens, when the budget speech is presented, when departments are presenting the strategic plan of department to the portfolio committee, and when the committee is dealing with the budget review recommendation report. We are sitting here . The accounting officer is not here. It doesn't mean much to have all. We are not saying you are not important as seated here, but you are not decision maker. You are not the accounting officer. The DG is not here. The DG knows very well. She has been in the government system for a very, very long time, but she's not here. She prioritized child. No minister wants to meet our Hambana. Along with them, but Batakama CEOs of the NDC. Meaning that to them, reviewing a budget in line with is secondary. Minister Wayengekho presenter, yonke lento esikhuluma la, minister wasingekho. UDG wahlala 2 days, as they bahamba baye eChina. So, who is leading with delegation in the department? Executive minister. We are saying this in the strongest term, that we don't take it kindly. At another time, we were dealing with a similar, very important milestone. We were told to two ministers in the KZN, who will deliver a speech, invited. The day we were dealing with the forensic audit report, internal forensic investigation of SIFA. SIFA was represented by the CEO, by the chair of the board, by the chair of the audit committee, internal audit committee, to show in respect to Parliament. And also to show that what was discovered by the portfolio committee is a serious matter to them. The department has not told us how it is dealing with that issue. because above the official in Zimbabwe, the CEO is for accountable bodies. The people who provide the oversight in Zimbabwe is the board. Immediately, Zimbabwe got that information. The chair of the board looked for the chairperson of the board and she started to communicate with me. That has not happened in the department. On the day we were discussing the report that was presented by Zimbabwe to us, both the DG and the minister were not there. Now, if there is, we are talking about corruption, the report on CIFA, the investigation done by CIFA is negative. One of the recommendations that criminal action will be taken against, one of the staff members has already been suspended. But above CIFA, the person who oversees what is happening in CIFA is the accounting officer. She wasn't there. The minister wasn't there. The deputy minister is new in the department, although she has served in the Kusulu committee. It will take her some time to understand some of the things that are happening in the department. So you can't push her to come here and then the people that who know who have been there since the inception of the department are not coming to the committee. So the point that I'm making is that Parliament doesn't account to the executive, it's the other way around. And Parliament doesn't account to the department, it's the other way around. So let us show respect to each other. That's all we are saying. We have come to the end of the meeting. Honorable Mudet.
Yeah, maybe you've broken a little bit of clarity because I'm going to raise it in the end. Because I was getting worried that sitting here and I'm saying, what are all these people on this side actually doing here? Because I don't, they're not saying anything. The politicians talking. So I don't know if that's how you conduct your business in your committee. So I was wondering why are these people here, they're saying nothing. They've come all the way. They're all from Cape Town, from Johannesburg, to traveling cost to come here. Who's in the office? They were from that side. People said nothing. We're talking to ourselves here. So I was concerned about it. But then in the end, you said if I could be there, these main people are not here. But why did they come in the first place? Because I think you should have sent them home this morning when you saw them. Because they came, they ate our food, drank our drink.
You are going to learn because sometimes we would also think, okay, why so many people are coming? Because we only supposed to have a minister, no DG, and if there is a need, the deputy, the acting DG is for. But we get the whole entry, and then the minister was genuinely committed. I brought all these people so that they can hear for themselves what the portfolio committee is saying. Oh well, we appreciate, we think they are going to. But then, next time put Ganjalo, we don't see any change. So what is the use of bringing all these people here? And also what is the use of letting them go with us when we're going to do it oversight? Instead of having two cars in the portfolio committee, 15 or 20. But after that, nothing is done to change the situation. So why do they go there? So that is the point that we are making to him. Nestad and Lalelen were judges. Musan Kulmano, we are very serious. And this time, We think ukuthi i department mayenza leyo nto le is taking us for granted. Maybe they think that we don't know ukuthi who serves in which portfolio. Can you send me to go and sit in to represent Parliament in a conference that is dealing with issues of security and welfare? What contribution will I make? Nothing. So that is the issue that we are saying. When you put me on development, small business, I have in the Kulkawasun Parliament. But I know nothing about health. So let us respect each other and respect the Parliament. But also respect the mandate that is given to us. Because if you don't worry yourself about coming here, it means all you care for is your salary. You don't care if you are a member of the
I would like the officials go away with the impression that we didn't need them in this city. We absolutely need them in this city. But now what you absolutely need again is for them to take into consideration all what you've said here and make improvements where necessary.
In conclusion,
if I end up
mina ngaqala ka-spot and retrition. Officials would respond to what is being raised by the portfolio committee in the meeting and indicate whether they agree with that or what are the other hindering factors or even raise issues that Tina we haven't seen that need our attention. You see, the issue of the railway transportation in South Africa and the need to move to make it the backbone of transport and then introduce high-speed trains in South Africa and manufacture trains here was raised by the CEO of CRAN. And he stood in a meeting like this and he was holding a red something and then the chairperson, look at my hand. And I lifted the hand. I'm raising a red flag. If there is no intervention on railway transportation in South Africa, the system is going to collapse. I leave it upon you. When we engage with the department doesn't say to us, what are the issues that we need to respond to? They come here, dust it, and then go away. Recommendations that we make, they don't respond to. So, Honorable, that is correct. We are not saying we don't need them here, but as is Funes Mungul, the Funabasabazo, Kuluma, Abazo, Shuti, Yini, Ama problems, what is it that needs to be addressed here? That's what we are saying, Honorable. About something, even if you have not been asked to say something, you will say. If that is what is holding them back, let them speak for themselves. Were you waiting for us to say, can you speak?
Yes, yes, Chair, we're waiting for the opportunity. We even had a discussion on the side with the content advisor, pointing out certain things that he thinks. So we did not get this opportunity because we thought it couldn't be content to contain people. Okay.
lodge and come and beg me so that they can report.